This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The founding fathers definitely knew what they were doing when they said, "Shall not be infringed." Forget all the misinformation, because this is the Blunt Object. Presented by Second Call Defense. Defending you after you defend yourself. This is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Hour number three. Just popped pills to try to get rid of the congestion. Live tonight, this is Lock and Load. Now, according to legend, they used to hang horse thieves. But car thieves just go to prison like everyone else nowadays. And there's no more vital piece of property than one's vehicle. They are the means to freedom of travel and also to work. The motor vehicle remains a necessity for almost anyone. So what do you do if someone tries, or what can you do if somebody tries to take yours? Now, defending yourself against a criminal and other violent actors is definitely the reason that you put on a concealed carry holster and carry a pistol, no doubt about it. But it isn't necessarily as simple as drawing and firing at a mugger, bank robber, or person invading your home. As anyone familiar with the basics of self-defense law knows, your life or that of another has to be in clear and present danger in order for a shooting to be justifiable. Does a car theft qualify? Some do, but some don't. And despite being the most vital piece of property a person arguably owns, a vehicle is still mere property, which for the most part is not legal to shoot a person over its theft. There are exceptions. Texas allows for certain instances of doing so, as do a few other states. But as a general rule, you just can't shoot in defense of mere property. Now, there are two types of car theft. Car theft is the illegal taking of a motor vehicle from the rightful owner. Carjacking is depriving the owner of the vehicle by force. And that is like the difference between mere theft and robbery. The latter involves the use of force. In the case of carjacking, the perpetrator is using force to take your car away. And in that case, the right to defend yourself is implied and, in fact, guaranteed under Stand Your Ground laws or Castle Doctrine laws. But that same protection is not necessarily extended to the latter. Now, Castle Doctrine is actually a little bit better because wherever you can do certain things legally, and your car is a part of your castle by extension in most states. States do not often authorize the use of force to stop a forcible felony in progress, but use in force in those instances must be proportional to the force being used in commission of the act. So in other words, a person stealing a car but not doing so at the point of a knife or a gun doesn't present a lethal threat. Shooting in this instance wouldn't be justified. Let me give you the caveats to that. If you are a man, 5'7", you weigh 120 pounds, and a behemoth is beating you half to death to try to get your car from you, you are within your boundaries, because that is that's where you're getting into this this gray area where he doesn't have to be armed in order for him to be dangerous. But I'm not giving you legal advice, just a discussion of what, given the available information, appears to be the law regarding shooting a car thief. A car thief doesn't necessarily pose a threat to you of bodily harm. You can't necessarily shoot him. If they're out there with a Slim Jim and picking your door, and I know what those are because we used to have them when I sold cars, because we used to lock the keys in them all the time. You can't shoot them. You can detain them if they're caught in the act, but not necessarily shoot them. And consider this case from Atlanta, Georgia. Raheem Scott of Atlanta stopped at a gas station but left his car running on March of 2016. And according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, noticed two car thieves attempting to take his car. He exited the gas station, drew his pistol, and fired multiple shots, killing one William Blackwell, one of the thieves. Scott was arrested on murder charges. You also possibly shouldn't shoot, especially once a car thief has been started driving or running away. An almost identical instance happened in Atlanta in late June, according to WAGA in Atlanta, Georgia. The Fox affiliate one, Josiah Gilbert, noticed someone trying to steal his car on the evening of June 23, 2017. He retrieved a firearm and shot the thief, one Marcus Mitchell, who had started running away. Mitchell was hit in the back of the head and died 4 days later. Gilbert was initially charged with aggravated assault, which at the time of the reported death of Mitchell was expected to be upgraded to murder. In Bonnie Lake, Washington, one Tobin Panton was sentenced early 2017 for an incident occurred on November 3, 2016. There he discovered thieves making off with his Jeep from his driveway, which happened to contain tools that belonged to his late father. He retrieved his pistol and fired as the thieves sped away. Unfortunately, one of his rounds hit neighbor Linda Green in her living room, killing her. And he was convicted of first-degree manslaughter and received 8 years. So there's plenty of real-life stories out there, should you wish to read into this more. The fact of the matter is, and the point here, is that when it comes to car theft, regardless of whether a person should be given rein to do so, shooting to stop the thief is still not necessarily permissible, unless they're threatening you physically, if you don't relinquish the vehicle or move from their path. And that's something you have to take into consideration, simply because when you do start firing a weapon, all of those rounds are going somewhere. All going somewhere. And that's the part that you have to keep in consideration. Let me try to pull something up here. No, it's not there. I'll try here in another second and see if I can pull it up. But anyway, all of those rounds that you fire in a self-defense situation are going somewhere. So you want to know where they're going. Now, but do of course, make the do the determination that there is a difference between somebody trying to jack your car out in the parking lot with you not in it versus trying to carjack you while your wife is in it or you're in it, that kind of thing. That is without a doubt a whole different animal, and one that you should, of course, look at and make sure that the right application is being used. You have to use proportional force in return. Try this and see if this pops up. Let's not do that. Let's spell that right. There we go. All right. There we go. Ah. But I bet I don't get an answer to that. Anyway, bear all of those things in mind. One of the reasons you strap on the gun is to defend yourself. Defend yourself. Does that mean that you have to let certain things happen? No, it doesn't mean you have to let certain things happen. It does, however, mean a few other things, though. It means that there's certain things that you cannot defend with lethal force, property being one of them. And it's not fair. I know. I get it. It's not fair. But it is the way things are. It is the law. And that's how often do we actually hear of that happening that way, where somebody gets in trouble for defending something they shouldn't have? I don't hear of the many instances, and if it actually was happening, like, I wonder how many of these people had concealed carry permits. It's all saying they retrieved a weapon, not that they had a weapon. That part is not, I would like to know the answer to that part. That part would be good to know. But it's neither here nor there. One thing that comes, I think, from the constant practice and training and all the awareness that comes with it, although you can't really do anything about it like when you park your car in a garage. Like, say, in a mall, parking garage in the mall. There's not a whole lot you can do about that unless you're walking up on it while while it's in the act. What are the odds of that actually happening? I don't know how good the odds are for that. So, anyway. Just a little food for thought, if you would. When we come back, we're going to talk. There's some more people out there wanting to ban magazines. Something that's already been done. We've already been down that route. We know that it's completely ineffective when it comes to stopping a crime. It only works against us. We'll discuss it just because you need to know. This is Lock and Load. Combining practical application, affordability, and an over-engineered design, this is the world of Lucid Optics. Lucid is a company developed on a dream but designed on a firing range with an input-based perspective that is unique in the optics industry. Copying no one and with value exceeding everyone, their lineup has something designed for every shooter and every application. To check out this indestructible selection, go to mylucidgear.com for the 2017 catalog today. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget. You have chosen your weapon, but we have the technology. We can make it better, faster, more lethal. We are Hive Technologies. Mastering efficiency and production, we bring a suite of parts designed for your defensive weapon. Increasing capacity, dexterity, and speed. 100% American-made at a price that all shooters can afford with parts for your Glock and Smith & Wesson developed to increase your defensive capability. Find us at HiveTechnologiesBuilder.com. Hive Technologies. Welcome to the Hive.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is Lock and Load. Last week, Representative Elizabeth Etsy, Democrat from Connecticut, introduced H.R. 4052, a ban on what she's calling large-capacity ammunition feeding devices. Her bill would ban any magazine, belt, drum, feed strip, or similar device that has a capacity or of or that can be readily restored or converted to accept more than 10 rounds of ammunition. It exempts firearms with an attached tubular design to accept and designed to accept and capable of operating only with 22 caliber rimfire ammunition. Mere possession as well as import or transfer would be prohibited by the bill. The bill, which makes this bill basically a stupid moot point, has a grandfather clause. It would supposedly exclude possession of a large capacity ammunition feeding device otherwise lawfully possessed within the United States on or before the date of enactment. But it's hard to imagine how that exemption would work in practice. The simple possession of a non-conforming magazine would be presumptive evidence of its criminality, and because many magazines are not date-stamped or serialized, we would have few options to substantiate eligibility for this affirmative defense. This could possibly lead to arrests and confiscations, even for lawfully possessed magazines, with the only recourse by the accused to tell it to a judge. Violations would be subject to ruinous fines and imprisonment for up to 10 years for possession of a single magazine. Representative Estee, it's fantasy on your part to believe that yet another form of gun control would have any impact at all on crime. We've been down this road before. We know that gun control doesn't work. Restricting the rights of the law-abiding does only that and has no impact on what the violent criminal or deranged madman is going to do or will not do. We still don't have to guess where things are headed if the decision is left to gun banners like Pelosi or Elizabeth Estee, who will never be satisfied until what you need will only be defined by what they will tolerate. That's the biggest part of the problem, isn't it? That's precisely why law-abiding gun owners must tell their story again and again, over and over. Rob Morse made this point earlier in the show. According to statistics, London, is more crime-ridden and dangerous than New York City, with rape, robbery, and violent offenses far higher on that side of the Atlantic. The latest statistics published earlier this week revealed that crime across the UK was up by 13%, with a surge in violence in the capital blamed for much of this increase. And, of course, Trump claimed that the rise could be linked to the spread of radical Islam, adding that it demonstrated the need to keep America safe. But critics dismissed his comments as ignorant, divisive, with former Labour leader Ed Miliband calling him an absolute moron. Okay, whatever you say, you elite punk. Criminal justice experts insisted rising crime in the UK, and particularly London, was more to do with the way the city was policed and blamed the reduction in neighbourhood patrols across the capital. Now, both London and New York have populations of around 8 million. Figures suggest that there's almost 6 times more likely to be burgled in the British capital than in the U.S. city, and 1.5 times more likely to fall victim to a robbery. London has almost 3 times the number of reported rapes, and while the murder rate in New York remains higher, the gap is narrowing. Now, this change in fortune, crime-wise, between these two global cities, has been put down largely to the difference in tactics adopted by the two police forces. Both Scotland Yard and the New York City Police Department have just over 30,000 officers each and budgets of around £3 billion per year. But in the mid-1990s, the spiraling crime rates in New York, sparked by the crack cocaine epidemic, resulted in a very radical new approach being adopted by the city's police department. Under Giuliani and Bratton, the NYPD introduced a zero-tolerance approach for low-level crime and flooded problem areas with patrols, and they also put a huge amount of emphasis on community policing. As a result, the murder plummeted from a high in 1990 of over 2,000 to a record low of 335 last year, and that figure is expected to fall even lower this year. It's currently in line to dip below 240. In London, the Metropolitan Police have moved away from the neighborhood policing model and low-level in favor of pursuing more serious offenses. And it emerged last week that they would not even bother investigating a large number of low-level offenses as part of a major cost-cutting drive. So in addition to a huge amount of police resources that have been poured into high-profile and politically sensitive cases, like the flawed VIP child abuse inquiry and the phone hacking inquiry. But at the same time, crime rates in London have been creeping up, and the latest statistics are likely to increase pressure on Met bosses to reassess their policing priorities. London saw 70,000 burglaries, with more than 43,000 taking place in people's homes. Robberies have also increased in London, with the biggest stolen item, primarily a mobile phone. Roy Gohagan, head of the criminal justice at the Center for Social Justice, said neighborhood policing had a wide range of benefits. And he looked at the NYPD and saw the difference in them. But you know, it has been suggested by academics that the bobbies on the beat do not reduce crime, but it is quite clear that a uniform presence on the streets will act as an effective deterrent. But the police in that country are very much influenced by intelligence-led investigations focusing on serious crime, and that's exactly the opposite of the model that proved so effective in New York City for the last 20 years. New York City has a separate entity that handles that kind of thing. That's one thing they failed to point out. They have their own little Department of Homeland Security in New York. They have their own little counterterrorism group. So, maybe, see, in England, there are no municipal police departments. There's no sheriffs. There's no nothing. It's all metropolitan police, as far as I can tell. So it's all national police. And, well, you have one, dare I say it, you have single payer in London, in England too, so. you got more than that. You got more than this, you got more than that. But anyway, all that part just makes me go, makes me wonder. Makes me wonder, because England is much more, violent than we are. And we should be against violence. We should be against violent crime. We should be seeking to control violence. And we should be seeking to take it down as much as we can. And, oh well. We don't seem to be doing that, at least on the political side. I'll put it that way. It seems like the municipalities are doing the best they can. But not in London. London is becoming a big, big issue. Big issue. It is sad. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
A Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock? Everyone. Crack Stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
The Roman Legions, the Samurai, and the Knights of the Round Table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Attention, type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors cares for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Tonight, this is Lock and Load. There's been a question that's been asked a few times, and I listened to it, but let me do a little setting up for you if I can. Now, it's been nearly 3 weeks since the Las Vegas shooting massacre, and the news cycle has moved on from that already. All the other issues that have been in the headlines, the male sexual predation, Trump's supposed unfitness for the presidency, the respective futures, the Iran nuclear agreement, the Affordable Care Act, and on, these are all important. But we know, in our hearts, that this is going to happen again, this kind of a shooting is going to happen again. And at this point, it still counts as news when a man kills three people and wounds two others in Maryland, but such numbers do not make a ripple on the political scene. Now, for the gun grabbers, that's a problem. And the problem is not that something worse is going to come and happen. It's that 10% of the population, they think, only 10% of the population does not want minimal changes in gun laws. And they've silenced the other 90%. For them, the persistent and puzzling aspect of the politics of guns in this country is the insistence of gun rights advocates when we invoke the Second Amendment as for what they think is a magical talisman. We seek to shut down all talk of gun control by asserting that such laws would violate the Constitution. Also, they don't work, Skippy. But according to them, and that's not true, and it never has been true, as Michael Dorf reminds us in his most recent column, the controlling Supreme Court opinion says the Second Amendment only applies to firearms in common use, which means that many different types of guns could be banned outright. Well, which ones are out there that you would want to ban? Because everything that's legal right now today would have to be considered in common use, wouldn't it? Where do you say the numbers begin? 100,000? Million? 2 million? Where does it become common? Andorf points out that the Supreme Court also held that the Second Amendment protects a right of individuals to possess firearms in their homes for the personal use of self-defense, and that is even the right of the people to hold that limited category of weapons is limited to guns held in their homes to defend their homes and the people in them. Does Mr. Dorf have anything to say about these 45-some-odd states that have provisions to carry guns outside of the home? Substantial numbers of constitutional scholars, including the esteemed Professor Dorf, believe that the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision was wrong even on that more limited holding, and some people are right down with that decision. But even so, the Constitution has never been interpreted in a way that would give people the right to have firearms in their possession anywhere they want and for whatever reason they want, or so they think. So for this reason, right, this is where these guys are trying to take and say the Second Amendment has nothing to do with gun control. The Second Amendment is not relevant in the U.S. gun debate. None of the proposals to limit gun purchases, to limit or even ban carrying weapons in public, to require background checks to forbid gun ownership by domestic abusers, to limit magazine capacities, or any other proposal on the horizon, even comes close to bumping up against the Second Amendment, according to them. Now notice what they did here. They lumped carrying weapons in public, which we've all undergone, you know, most of us that have done that, who do that today, have undergone big background checks. We passed them. We've passed other background checks. But they also lump in there to forbid gun ownership by domestic abusers. Isn't that pretty much a rule of thumb already? Now, I'm talking about adjudicated people. I'm not talking about people that have been accused of it. Okay? Big difference. And according to some, it would be like a person on a bicycle being told the speed limit is 75 miles per hour, possibly relevant in extreme circumstances, but almost never a plausible constraint. I don't know. I can pedal mine at about 35. Now, just because they want it doesn't mean it's going to happen anytime soon. Simply saying, according to these, and this is the thing, why do we have these entities which we're supposed to completely kowtow to if you can disagree with them and we should move things just because you say so? Which is it? Do we give them full sway, which means you have to give them full sway, or is it like a salad bar where we pick and choose what we want? They lament that legislatures decide whether to pass laws within constitutional limits, but it is impossible under current circumstances to imagine even a Democratic majority Congress passing anything more than bans on assault weapons and perhaps large capacity magazines, and both of those would be heavy legislative lifts. But this leads to two more questions. This is the fun part. Does the already enormous number of guns owned by Americans mean that we are doomed to live with gun violence forever, no matter what the future Congress might do, even though it's going down? Second, and more provocatively, does the concentration of guns in the hands of the Donald Trump supporters raise any special concerns about attempts to impeach the president? Now, according to this person, the answer to those questions are no and sort of, but those concerns should never cause Congress to refuse to pursue impeachment. But one of the most shocking statistics that has begun to show up about in news reports about gun violence is that there are more guns in private hands in the United States than there are people. So put differently, the average person in this country owns more than one gun. That fact might lead to the conclusion that gun control legislation would be too little too late, even if we pass much stronger laws than we are ever likely to pass. And after all, if everyone currently has at least one gun and can hold it in their house for self-defense purposes, then the government could not do anything to reduce gun ownership. This is a problem for them. It's funny. It's just so funny. then they fall for the Sugarman and Horowitz claim where the actual number of households has been declining for decades, even as the total gun ownership has risen. So they roll out the statistic that 3% of American adults own half of the nation's firearms. And in fact, only 19% of American adults own the other half of the guns, while the remaining 78% do not own guns at all. I don't know where they got that from. That's not what it is. So, what this means is that the surges in gun purchases that we see after a highly publicized shooting event must be a matter of current gun owners buying more guns and thinking that the government is going to be taken over by gun-hating lefties they add to their arsenals. The millennials are the ones buying the guns, punk. The millennials. They may be down with you about social justice and everything, but they're looking at guns in a different light. They're getting out of college now. They're getting out of college deep in debt, and they find out they got to buy things. So, you know, if... this whole idea of getting out there and trying to... This is all sort of snuck up on them. See, they get out there and they have seen for the longest time the number 300 million. They've seen 300 million guns in the United States for 8 years. All the while, completely ignoring the fact that Barack Obama had over 100 million NICS checks before June something 2015. Barack Obama was great about that. The actual total snowflakes is about 660 million guns. The actual number of people that own guns is about 140 million. I don't know where you think that 3% own half and the other half is owned by 19%. I don't know. So 27, okay. Go take your meds. It's obvious you guys are having a breakdown. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
ProPure water filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Last time on the firing line, live tonight, this is Lock and Load. Now, I do this so you don't have to. If you ever accidentally wander into a website called wearyourvoicemag.com, run away quickly. If you read any of it, you may need therapy. For there, you would see what's this lady's name? Oh, gosh, I can't see her name. She's a fine one. According to WearYourVoiceMag.com, the Second Amendment is fundamental to the roots of white settler violence and their genocide project against native populations, as well as to control and ultimately eliminate freed black people in America. Wasn't the Second Amendment ratified prior to the Emancipation Proclamation? I'm just trying to understand the timeline here. They asked the question, why, with every new mass shooting in America, does the resounding question of why this keeps happening, as it gets louder but it never gets resolved, people abroad can't understand our fixation with guns, and people here in the USA attempt to explain it with a variety of Second Amendment right interpretations. It's an individual right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is the right for militias to bear arms and is no longer applicable in today's world. The National Rifle Association and the gun lobby are solely responsible for gun culture as we find it now and more. Now, if you were to go out and take your money that you probably worked very hard to earn and buy a book by a feminist, that's her claim to fame, named Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, you could buy Loaded, The Disarming History of the Second Amendment, which dismantles all of those explanations and justifications into one chilling thesis, which I've already told you. The Second Amendment is fundamental to the roots of white settler violence and their genocide project, blah, 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 blah. So in a nutshell, the Second Amendment's main origin and purpose is to protect and promote white supremacy in these United States. Funny as all get out, because this past weekend, my best friend, my brother from another mother, he and I went to the range together, me, him, JT. He just happened to be black. I felt no, you know, and I was letting him shoot everything, and I want him to become so proficient in it, and I want him to carry his gun everywhere he goes, because I think very highly of this man. This man has always backed me since I've known him. I've known him 17 years now. So I'm not, I must not have got that memo. Miss Dunbar-Ortiz takes and analyzes these words in the context in which they were originally written. A permission granted to the white settler colonists to seize native lands by whatever violence necessary, and including the murder, rape, torture of non-combatants like women and children. She writes, the Second Amendment's language specifically gave individuals and families the right to form volunteer militias to attack Indians and take their land. Does she even mention the Redcoats anywhere? The violent appropriation of native land by white settlers was seen as an individual right in the Second Amendment of the Constitution, second only to the freedom of speech. Settler militias and armed households were institutionalized for the destruction and control of native peoples, communities, and nations. Further, the so-called savage wars are the historical basis of current military strategies like special operations and low-intensity conflicts that do not discriminate between civilians and military targets. This is what I love. Also, my webmaster, okay, I'll get that fixed as well, I'm sorry. I love how somebody's never worn the uniform who gets out there and says that we do certain things and we don't discriminate between certain things, and you don't know a thing about what you're talking about. On page 48, she writes, the chief characteristic of irregular warfare is that the extreme violence is that of the extreme violence against civilians. In this case, the tendency to pursue the utter annihilation of the indigenous population. If that were the case, we would have taken Afghanistan, young lady, old lady, whatever you are. We would already have Afghanistan. We would have Iraq. We quit doing that. Ask any soldier over there. Their ROI or ROE is horrible. Their hands are tied. Tied. Now, only Miss Dunbar-Ortiz has been willing, despite all the other social scientists and historians and military historians and sociologists, she's the only one who has not been hesitant to frame the Second Amendment with its foundational intent to veritably wipe out indigenous peoples from North America. She writes, as an incentive to recruit fighters, colonial authorities introduced a program of scalp hunting that became a permanent and long-lasting element of settler warfare against indigenous nations. And because history is rewritten by victors, scalping as a native-founded practice was disseminated through stories and later racist visual media to portray the indigenous populations as barbaric peoples who deserved elimination from their ancestral lands. No mention at all of the British. No mention at all of the British. And they did not stop with the terrorizing and murder of native populations. Oh, no. Once these violent settler colonists had cleared land of natives, whether by herding them onto reservations or outright massacre, those lands were now ripe for slave labor. So let's also keep in mind that without the millennia of work that the now dead or displaced indigenous populations accomplished in terraforming, how long is a millennia? It's longer than we've been here, isn't it? Anyway. If you keep that in mind, you would know there would be no cultivated lands or ecosystems for those white settlers to exploit with theirs or anyone else's labor. It was appropriated by European settlers. These lands would become economies based on enslaved African labor and increasingly on breeding enslaved people for profit, with the indigenous farmers forced to the peripheries. Slave patrols. They, in essence, shape most of the modern language you use when talking about America's police force, including phrases like beat to indicate a cop's monitor turf and stakeout methods of surveillance. In this context, it is also no surprise that America currently has an epidemic of unarmed black men being murdered by cops who rarely serve any consequences other than negative media attention for these racially motivated crimes. Finishing on page 169, we get white nationalists are the irregular forces, the voluntary militias of the actual existing political economic order. They are provided for in the Second Amendment. According to them, guns and gun violence are more American than baseball, apple pie, or any of the signifiers that we pretend are our emblems. And guns are so entrenched in the blood-drenched history of violence against Native and Black peoples, there is no easy way to untangle them today until we have dismantled systemic white supremacy in this country from its roots and up to the highest levels of government. Sadness. It is sadness. I, as a constitutionalist, a true constitutionalist, if I was what she thought I was, I would hunt her down and scalp her. After I'd shot her numerous times. Instead, I went out and defended your right to be an idiot, woman. I did. I went out and defended it and defended it and defended it. And you... you don't understand the reality of anything. I don't see how you could. You're way too busy knowing more... It almost sounds like one of those things where you get out there and you hear the person going, I'm not crazy, all of you are crazy. Doesn't it? Now then, I took a very good trip to the range. I've already put up the video about the Nighthawk pistol. About to put up the video for the Gunsight Scout. And then I'll be putting up the video for the P10C. Good weekend at the range. I had a good time at the range. That's what it's all about. Me and two other guys hanging out, shooting, just having fun. And we had a lot of fun. And at the same time, we worked on our skill set. It's perfect stuff. Back again tomorrow. Between now and then, remember this. It's never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. Has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. DTWS Arms is the evolution of the AR-15. Veteran-owned and operated, this is the 21st century rendition of Eugene Stoner's creation, crafted for the front line, but designed for the aficionado. DTWS Arms is 100% made in the USA, built by rough men who have become craftsmen. Upgraded billet technology designed is lethal art with reliability and beauty at the forefront. To order, go to our new website at DTWSArms.com.
DTWS Arms, this is the nature of the beast. The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and small encoding to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com, just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com, to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
KD Armor has been on a mission to manufacture the most comfortable body armor on the market, and we've succeeded. With the release of our CQB technology, we now offer the most comfortable, concealable rifle threat body armor available. Things may look good now, but what if you need added protection? Get your very own concealable rifle threat armor today at KDArmor.com. And for a limited time, get all plates at wholesale pricing only at CATIArmor.com.